We want to welcome you this morning to our Good Friday service. For many of us, we've heard the story many, many times in our lifetime. We'd like you this morning to get lost in the wonder of the story. The story of not only Good Friday, but the story of the overwhelming love of God, beginning with the words in the beginning. Understanding the story of Good Friday. And to allow ourselves to hear the story anew. This morning, we're going to sing. We're going to have a bunch of readings. We're going to celebrate communion together. And our hope is that when you leave here this morning, you'll have heard the story in a way that you've never heard it before, and that your faith would be enriched. As if it were not enough, Almighty God, creator of the universe, that you should, through the power of your word, call into being all that is known and all that remains to be discovered, as if it were not enough, you continue to hold the majesty of the heavens in the hollow of your hand.
We, creatures made of clay, visitors in this earth, not welcomed in this culture, despised by some, hold ourselves as gods, believing ourselves to be the center of the universe, greater than the God who created all things.
Would you stand with us as we sing?
Comes time.
as if it were not enough, Almighty God, that in the fullness of time you called into being a blue-green jewel of a planet to shimmer into delight. As if it were not enough, you filled it with us, made in your own image and likeness, creating an oasis of life in the vastness of space.
And we, the creatures made in your image, in your likeness, treat the gift of life with arrogance, holding ourselves as overlords of creation rather than stewards entrusted with our master's treasure.
My king would die for me.
as if it were not enough, Almighty and loving God, that you should create men and women. As if it were not enough, you chose to reveal generation to generation to wanderers in the deserts and the inhabitant of ancient cities the truth of who you are. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the fact that you have revealed the truth of who you are. The truth of the fact that you are not only Lord, but that you are Savior and Redeemer. And yet, Lord, as we walk into this day called Good Friday, we are mindful of the inhabitants that have gone before us, and we see our own story. We see our own story where we say yes to Jesus and we say crucify him. We say yes to Jesus, but Lord, we crucify you with our words and our actions and our attitudes. And we pretend we don't even know you, that we're not a follower of you. That the truth of who you are, we see the story of second chances. We see the story of your love for us. As we look at our story, Lord, we see people that are filled with pride. And yet, as you wrote in Jerusalem, you only displayed humility. And we see a picture of who you are. Lord, when you were ridiculed and you were slapped around, where your face was spat in our own hearts, we want to get even. We want to make people pay. But you were patient. And we see a picture of the truth of who you are. And when we come to Good Friday, we see the ultimate picture of love, of sacrifice, of a call to how you want us to live as your people. In a culture that says, live for yourself, don't worry about anybody else. We see the picture of one who would give his life for us, that we might not only be forgiven, but that we might be redeemed. On this Good Friday, may we truly see the picture of who you are and how much you love us. And may we in turn strive to be like you. Amen.
Bruce, stop it.
Mom, this reading is unnecessarily long. Yeah, my legs are getting tired.
Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. The least you can do is stand for a few minutes.
Now, there was a notorious prisoner whose name was Barabbas. Pilate knew it was out of jealousy that they handed Jesus over.
Hey, look, we got parts.
What?
We have lines. Here's one.
Away with this man. Give us Barabbas.
Dude, I'll give you $1 if you scream this line louder than me.
Deal.
Pilate said to them,
in that case, what am I to do with Jesus who is called Christ?
And they all shouted,
crucify him!
I totally said it louder than you.
Are you kidding me? All right, here it comes again.
But they shouted all the louder,
crucify him! Crucify
him! You totally owe me $1. You didn't even say the last one.
Dude, did you see
that? What? Okay, here it comes again.
Let his blood be on us and on our children.
What's going on?
We're killing the blasphemer.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ?
He is not the Christ. What? Are you a follower of his?
Hey, everyone. This man is a follower of Jesus.
No, I'm not.
Hey.
No, I'm not.
Hey!
Yeah.
He's one of his disciples!
I don't know the man. I don't know the man.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. I didn't do that to you. That was people from like 2,000 years ago. Hey, it's not my fault that you're up here. Jesus, I'm so sorry. I just never thought. I just never realized that I did this to you. I did this to you. So why would you do this for me?
The body of Christ.
You really are the Son of God. Amen.
The body of Christ.
Dude, what was all that about?
Jesus Christ died on a cross. For me.
You sound like mom.
Thank you. Jesus. Thank you.
And we, heirs to this great story, are forgetful and dismissive of our heritage, dismissive of your mighty work, dismissive of your promises, dismissive of every single thing that you've done for us, because we think it's supposed to be all about us.
Please stand with us.
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayal, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that salvation, where your love poured out over
John 18, verse 1 to 19 to 42. Jesus, having prayed this prayer, left with his disciples and crossed over the brook Kidron at a place where there was a garden. He and his disciples entered it. Jesus, his betrayer, knew the place because Jesus and his disciples went there often. So Judas led the way to the garden, and the Roman soldiers and police sent by the high priests and Pharisees followed. They arrived there with lanterns and torches and swords. Jesus, knowing by now everything that was coming down on him, went out and met them. He said, "Who are you after?" They answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said, "That's me." The soldiers recoiled, totally taken aback. Judas, his betrayer, stood out like a sore thumb. Jesus asked again, "Who are you after?" They answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I told you," said Jesus, "that's me. I'm the one. So if it's me you're after, let these others go." This validated the words in his prayer, "I didn't lose one of those you gave." Just then, Simon Peter, who was carrying a sword, pulled it from his sheath and struck the chief priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. Malchus was the servant's name. Jesus ordered Peter, "Put back your sword. Do you think for a minute I'm not going to drink this cup the Father gave me?" Then the Roman soldiers, under their commander, joined by the Jewish police, seized Jesus and tied him up. They took him first to Annas, father-in-law of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was the chief priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it was their advantage that one man die for the people. Simon Peter and other disciple followed Jesus. The other disciple was known to the chief priest, and so he went in with Jesus to the chief priest's courtyard. Peter had to stay outside. Then the other disciple went out, spoke to the doorkeeper, and got Peter in. Then the young woman, who was the doorkeeper, said to Peter, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples?" He said, "No, I'm not." The servants and police had made a fire because of the cold and were huddled there warming themselves. Peter stood with them, trying to get warm. Annas interrogated Jesus regarding his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered, "I've spoken openly in public. I've taught regularly in meeting places and the temple where the Jews all come together. Everything has been out in the open. I've said nothing in secret. So why are you treating me like a conspirator? Question those who have been listening to me. They know well what I have said. My teachers have all been above board." When he said this, one of the policemen standing there slapped Jesus across the face, saying, "How dare you speak to the chief priest like that?" Jesus replied, "If I've said something wrong, prove it. But if I've spoken the plain truth, why is slapping around?" Then Annas sent him, still tied up, to the chief priest Caiaphas. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was back at the fire, still trying to get warm. The others there said to him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" He denied it. "Not me." One of the chief priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. Just then, a rooster crowed. The king of the Jews. They led Jesus then from Caiaphas to the Roman governor's palace. It was early morning. They themselves didn't enter the palace because they didn't want to be disqualified from eating the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and spoke. "What charge did you bring against this man?" They said, "If he hadn't been doing something evil, do you think we'd be here bothering you?" Pilate said, "You take him. Judge him by your law." The Jews said, "We're not allowed to kill anyone." This would confirm Jesus' word, indicating the way he would die. Pilate went back into the palace and called for Jesus. He said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate said, "Do I look like a Jew? Your people and your high priest turned you over to me. What did you do?" "My kingdom," said Jesus, "doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king." Then Pilate said, "So are you a king or not?" Jesus answered, You tell me, because I am king. I was born and entered the world so that I could witness to the truth. Everyone who cares for truth, who has any feeling for the truth, recognizes my voice. Pilate said, "What is truth?" Then he went back out to the Jews and told them, "I find nothing wrong in this man. It's your custom that I pardon one prisoner at Passover. Do you want me to pardon the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Not this one, but Barabbas." Barabbas was a Jewish freedom fighter.
So Pilate took Jesus and had him whipped. The soldiers, having braided a crown from thorns, set it on his head, threw a purple robe over him, and approached him with, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they greeted him with slaps in the face. Pilate went back out again and said to them, "I present him to you, but I want you to know that I do not find him guilty of any crime." Just then, Jesus came out wearing the thorn crown and purple robe. Pilate announced, "Here he is, the man." When the high priests and police saw him, they shouted in a frenzy, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate told them, "You take him. You crucify him. I find nothing wrong with him." The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by that law he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he became even more scared. He went back into the palace and said to Jesus, "Where did you come from?" Jesus gave no answer. Pilate said, "You won't talk? Don't you know that I have the authority to pardon you and the authority to crucify you?" Jesus said, "You haven't a shred of authority over me except what has been given you from heaven. That's why the one who betrayed me to you has committed a far greater fault." At this, Pilate tried his best to pardon him, but the Jews shouted him down, "If you pardon this man, you're no friend of Caesar's. Anyone setting himself up as king defies Caesar." When Pilate heard those words, he led Jesus outside. He sat down at the judgment seat in the area designated Stone Court, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation day for Passover. The hour was noon. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They shouted back, "Kill him! Kill him! Crucify him!" Pilate said, "I am to crucify your king?" The high priest answered, "We have no king except Caesar." Pilate caved in to their demand. He turned him over to be crucified. They took Jesus away. Carrying his cross, Jesus went out to the place called Skull Hill. The name in Hebrew is Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote a sign and had it placed on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was right next to the city. It was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The Jewish high priest's objective: "Don't write," they said to Pilate, "the King of the Jews. Make it, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." When they crucified him, the Roman soldiers took his clothes and divided them up four ways, to each soldier a fourth. But his robe was seamless, a single piece of weaving. So they said to each other, "Let's not tear it up. Let's throw dice to see who gets it." This confirmed the scripture that said, "They divided up my clothes among them and threw dice for my coat." The soldiers validated the scriptures. While the soldiers were looking after themselves, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her. He said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. Jesus, seeing that everything had been completed, so that the scripture record might also be complete, then said, "I'm thirsty." A jug of sour wine was standing by. Someone put a sponge soaked with the wine on a javelin and lifted it to his mouth. After he took the wine, Jesus said, "It's done. Complete." Bowing his head, he offered up his spirit. Then the Jews, since it was the day of Sabbath preparation, and so the bodies wouldn't stay on the crosses over the Sabbath, it was a high holy day that year, petitioned Pilate that their legs be broken to speed death and the bodies taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man crucified with Jesus and then the other. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers stabbed him in the side with his spear. Blood and water gushed out. The eyewitness to these things has presented an accurate report. He saw it himself and is telling the truth so that you also will believe. These things that happened confirmed the scripture, not a bone in his body was broken. And the other scripture that reads, they will stare at the one they pierced. After all this, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he was intimidated by the Jews, petitioned Pilate to take the body of Jesus. Pilate gave permission. So Joseph came and took the body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus at night, came now in broad daylight carrying a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. They took Jesus' body and, following the Jewish burial custom, wrapped it in linen with the spices. There was a garden near the palace he was crucified, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been placed. So, because it was Sabbath preparation for the Jews, and the tomb was convenient, they placed Jesus in it.
Please stand.
Jesus Messiah.
as if it were not enough. Almighty and eternal God, reveal to us the promise of eternal life and entered into a covenant with us. As if it were not enough, when the hearts of humanity were hard and rebellious, when my heart, when your heart was hard and rebellious, you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, to enter our story and redeem it.
And we, the people who know of your great covenant, still harden our hearts against you. We place the cross, the sign of your great sacrifice of love, before our eyes, but we don't see it. I wonder if we know what it really means.
The Lamb of God is
This morning, we come to the table of grace. We come to a table where grace is made evident. We come to a table where you will be able to touch and to taste and to feel God's word coming to life. God comes not only as the host of this dinner, but as the Savior and the Lord and the Redeemer. We come this morning not because we are worthy. We come not because we're perfect. We don't come because we have our lives all together. But we come to the table this morning because of grace. Because God so loved us that he sent his son to die for me, for you, that we might be forgiven. As we come to the table this morning, would you pause in a moment of silent prayer with me? As whatever it is in your own story this morning, you need to bring before God, that we may come to the table and experience grace. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you don't give up on us. Lord, we thank that you relentlessly pursue us. And Lord, we thank that you are willing to take rejection, not only by us, but to experiencing your Father turn his face from you. To experiencing the wrath of God for every sin that had been committed. For us. Lord, may we not take that for granted. And as we have heard your word, and soon we will touch and we will taste the bread and the juice. That our faith would be renewed. And that we would hear the story of grace in a new way this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who will be serving to come forward at this time. Before Jesus would go to the cross, he would gather with his disciples in the upper room and they would celebrate a feast together. And I'd like to read to you of that account of Jesus with his disciples in the upper room from the message from 1 Corinthians 11. Here's what the word says. Let me go over with you exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it's so important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and pass them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in words and in actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irrelevantly is part of the crowd that jeered and spat on him. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come in awe in this holy meal. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master, when you eat and you drink, you run risk of serious consequences. That's why so many of you, even now, are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Better to be confronted by the Master now than face the confrontation later. So, my friends, when you gather together, you come to the Lord's table. Be reverent and courteous with one another. If you're so hungry that you can't wait to be served, go home and have a sandwich. But by no means risk turning this meal into an eating and drinking binge or a family squabble. It is a meal. It is a feast. It is the story of the love of God. This morning, as we gather, we remember not only Jesus' act on the cross, but we gather with those disciples who together would be reminded that we are to celebrate the story of His grace often. When Jesus gathered with His disciples, after He gave thanks, He took bread and He broke it. He reminds them and He reminds us this morning how His body would be given for you and me that we might have life. If you have made a statement of faith in Jesus, we invite you to participate with us this morning. If you're not sure what this is all about, if you're not sure about your story of faith, we invite you just to watch and to listen and to allow God's Spirit to work within you. We do have gluten-free. If anyone is in need of gluten-free, if you let one of the elders know, we will make sure you get that. And we ask that you hold on till everyone has been served that we may partake together.
Flesh and blood, you came to us. Nothing of consequence to see. Inside of time and space, you laid your life down on a cross to rescue me.
People of God, take, eat, remember, and believe that Jesus died for all of our sins. After dinner, they gathered and they drank together. And they would be reminded that this cup would be a picture of the new covenant that Jesus had come to establish. That by the giving of his life and by the shedding of his blood, we would not only be forgiven, but we would be made new.
Silent, you offered up your body there, numbered with murderers and thieves, bearing the weight of what I never could. You stood in my place and set me free.
Of God, Jesus willingly, freely, obediently, graciously went to the cross for you because he loves you so much. And he wants you to hear again, maybe with fresh ears this morning, you are forgiven. You are mine. Take drink, remember the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus Christ, all of our sin is forgiven. After Jesus had died, they took him down from the cross and they laid him in a tomb. But you know what the exciting news is? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And the disciples would once again have an encounter with Jesus. And although they did not see and they did not understand, they would, when they would see Jesus again, and their eyes would be open. And the wonders and the mysteries of the cross came to new life. And our hope this morning is that the wonders of the cross, maybe in a new way, have opened your eyes to the wonders of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Amazing love. How can it be? The hymn writer writes, that you, my Lord, would die for me. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much, that you gave your life for us, that we might not only know you, that we might not only be forgiven, but that we may be able to live with purpose in this life. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to the wonders of who you are, the wonders of Scripture. That Lord, as your disciples would come to understand what this all means, as you would pour out your Spirit, they would go into the world and tell everyone about Jesus. We pray that not only would we do that, but our lives and our interactions with others would say something about what happened this morning. Would say something about the transforming power of the gospel. That our lives would be a witness to grace in action. Thank you for not only giving your life for us, but for rising again, of ascending into heaven, of pouring out your Spirit, that we would be able to tell the rest of the story. Thank you for loving us. Amen. As if it were not enough, Almighty and loving Father, that through the death and resurrection of your dear Son, our beloved, all creation would be redeemed. As if that were not enough, you established your church to be witness and prophet, teacher and healer, endowing her through the Spirit with gifts and charisma to be a witness in the world.
And we, the people of your church, are afraid to witness to what we know. We are timid and fearful. We hide that charisma that you've given us. We refuse to be your sacrament to the world.
As if it were not enough, Almighty and loving God, that you, through the power of your word, called into being all that is known and all that needs to be discovered. As if that were not enough, you continue to hold all things in the hollow of your hand. No universe, no atom exists without your knowing. But your greatest love and tenderest care are bestowed upon the frailest of creatures. In your mighty work of creation, you never lose sight of the least of your children. Those sick in mind and in body, those oppressed and downtrodden, those who are hungry, naked, and clothed, those who struggle and those who despair, those who suffer and those who die alone, uncomforted. You who hold the stars in being, hold the children closest to your heart.
And we, your people, do not see these. We do not see the frail. We do not see these little children. We see the image of your Son. We say words, but we do not transform our lives. We offer sympathy, but do not transform the lives of our brothers and sisters, our co-heirs of the great story of salvation.
Please stand with us.
Conquered death and rose from the grave.
Would you join me in our closing litany? They looked upon the one they had pierced.
To look on the one who died and wonder. We wonder why. Why this final insult on the one already dead?
They looked upon the one they had pierced and saw blood flowing from his hands, his feet, his side.
Blood of a spotless lamb. Was God so angry with his people?
They looked upon the one they had pierced and saw water flowing from the wound in his side.
And we too look upon the one who died and wonder. We wonder at the greatness of this gift. Water from his side that washes our sin away. Water from the one who died, offering us a new way to life.
They looked upon the one they had pierced and thought they had won. The word of God was silenced. The light of the world was extinguished. The way was blocked. The truth questioned. The life was dead.
Father, forgive them. They did not know what they were doing. Father, forgive us. For often we do not know what we are doing.
They looked upon the one they had pierced and thought that they had judged rightly. The Son of God who challenged their gods was wrong, and they had defeated him.
But God did not send his Son into the world to judge it, to condemn it. God sent his Son, the Beloved, into the world to save it, to save us.
They looked upon the one they had pierced and saw death and emptiness.
And we too look upon the one who died and wonder. We wonder at so great a love that does not count the cost of loving, a love that offers its very self so that we might live, a love that would have done the same had I been the only one who needed it.
The sacrifice of love stretched out his arms on the cross.
And sent forth his spirit into the outstretched arms of the Father.
So great a love, so great a sacrifice. Go in peace.